I had decided to preach on something different, but this week I really felt God placed something on my heart, especially for today, and I believe it's for some people that are here today. So we'll look at these scriptures and see what God does. And so we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. At the end of this service today, I think there's a celebratory cake, is that right, for everybody to stop to? It's a big cake. If not, then Asher will pray over it and multiply it. They're going to have a party at 1 o'clock, so we need to vacate the back by 1 o'clock, so I've got to make sure I don't preach too long today, especially if you're visiting. But I do believe that this word will encourage you today and help you today. So let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. By way of introduction before this, we find that wherever Jesus went, wherever he placed his feet, crowds of people followed Jesus. There was something about Jesus. There was something about his compassion for people that they had never experienced before. There was something about the way he taught people. He carried an authority that they'd never seen in the religious leaders of the day. When he taught, it's as though the scriptures came to life. There was something about the way when this man prayed for people that the sick were healed, the deaf, the dumb, the lame, even the dead were raised to death, life from death. Because Jesus brought his kingdom to this earth. It was heaven touching earth wherever he placed his feet. So it's no wonder that people from villages left their fishing, left their work, and they wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to watch him. They wanted to listen to him. They wanted to see the miraculous happen. They just wanted to be with Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, 40, we see how Jesus' kingdom comes and what Jesus does. Let's read the scripture. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." I love that saying. If you are willing, you can make me clean. You see, lepers, sick people, were outcasts in those days. They weren't wanted, they weren't desired, they were treated awfully. And this man that is a leper, who's got no hope, who will die, makes his way to Jesus because he's seen something in Jesus that's different to everybody else. He sees a man, when he talks, he has compassion and love. And he begs Jesus and says, "Jesus, if you are willing, I believe you can make me well." I love Jesus' response. It says in verse 41 to 42, Jesus was indignant. It means that Jesus was moved with compassion. When Jesus saw this man, he looks down upon this man. He doesn't judge him. He doesn't say, "Well, the world says if you're sick, it's because of sin in your life or the sin of your parents." He has compassion upon the man. And he reaches out his hand to this leper, which the law said, you must not touch a leper. He reaches out and touches him. He goes, "You know, man," he says, "I'm willing. Do you know what? I'm ready. I want to make you well. Do you know, this is what I was born for. This is why I came. I came to make people well. Am I willing? You bet I am." And Jesus says these words, be clean. In verse 42, it says, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed immediately. I love that word immediately. I think it's great. Jesus says, okay, be healed. He speaks and the leprosy disappears from the man. That day, the kingdom of God came to earth. That day, Jesus taught, my kingdom is different to the world's kingdom. In my kingdom, compassion rules. Can you say that? In my kingdom, compassion rules. Jesus says, in my kingdom, compassion rules. Compassion trumps judgment. In God's kingdom, compassion trumps judgment. In my kingdom, there is blessing and blessings rule and reign. In the kingdom that we live today, Jesus' blessings rule and reign. Mark chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. For he had healed many, so that those who had diseases were pushing forward to touch him. I see a picture here of Jesus. The crowds are around him, and they notice that Jesus heals this person and heals that person, and they're pushing to get to Jesus. Jesus, will you touch me? Jesus, will you bless me? Jesus, would you make me well? You're my only hope, Jesus. And the crowds are pushing in to Jesus. I remember when I went to Kenya in 2001, and three of us went, and we went into a place called Meru, M-E-R-U, in Kenya. And it was right in the sticks, and we used to travel 3 hours every day in a Land Rover that wasn't fit for purpose and in roads that weren't really roads. And we traveled 3 hours into the deep. I remember there was one particular village, which I called it our miracle village, and they heard that these Mzungus, these white people were coming. And one of the guys that used to come to church, he was a tall guy, and he got out the minibus. And the children thought it was a devil and he ran. They ran. They'd never seen a white man. Can't believe it, can you? Big, tall guy. But they ran at first because they were frightened. But they'd heard we'd come to talk about Jesus. And they had a little hut. It was tiny. And they crammed everybody in so that there was no space. And I'm trying to preach and there's people all around me and there's people looking through the window. There's people standing outside and there's just no room. And I said, this is no good. I can't talk to you about Jesus and we can't pray. And we went outside and people still kept coming out of the bush. And it was just amazing because they wanted to hear about Jesus. And at that point, I really felt that God wanted to heal some people. And so we said, do you want Jesus to touch you? And the three of us made a line and they just lined up one after the other. And people just wanting Jesus to bless them, wanting Jesus to heal them. We saw so many miracles. We had to travel 40 minutes around this massive mountain. By the time we got to the other side of the mountain, the whole village had gone up the mountain and down and brought everybody in with them. And there was such an expectation of that Jesus would be there and Jesus would heal sick people. I remember the first thing that happened was this black lady who was so thin, you could see the bones through her collarbone. She'd given birth to a little child, and this little child was lifeless. I thought this child was dead. And she placed the baby in my arms, and I go, God, what are you going to do here? And this baby was 2 days old and it had not fed from mom at all. And as I prayed, the little baby came to life. It started to move. I placed the baby in the mom's arms. The whole crowd of people were like, and she started to breastfeed this little baby. And by the time we got back to England, we'd had news that this baby was alive and well and doing really well. And I have this picture, which I will never forget today, the crowds pressing in for us to pray for them. And this is what it was like in those days. The crowds saw Jesus. They were pressing in. They just wanted Jesus. They just wanted him to touch them. They just wanted Jesus to make them well. In Mark chapter 5, verse 27 to 29, We read of a lady who tried everything to become well. She'd spent all her money. She tried to get well for 12 years, and she was getting worse. Let's read this story. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And we have this word again. Immediately. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Again, this lady was seen as an outcast. She'd got an issue of blood, and because of it, it made her unclean. So she couldn't fellowship with people. She couldn't spend time with people. She couldn't enjoy the things that you and I would enjoy every day. And on top of that, she's a woman in a man's world. For many people, she was seen as insignificant. For many people, she was seen unimportant. But she says, if only I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made well. Maybe in the past you'd seen Jesus, you'd heard about him, but because of the shame that she felt, she may have thought at one point, he wouldn't want to help me. But something happens in her life where she realizes, maybe the Spirit of the living God comes upon her, she realizes, if only I can just touch Jesus' garment, I will be made well. He pushes through the crowd. She touches the hem of his garment, and immediately she is made well. In God's kingdom, there is no insignificant people. In God's kingdom, compassion rules. In God's kingdom, compassion triumphs judgment. In God's kingdom, blessing rules and reigns. Mark 6:56. And wherever Jesus went into villages, towns or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And it says, all who touched it were healed. Was there something amazing about his cloak? No. It was because Jesus was wearing it. If only I can just reach Jesus, if only I can just touch his cloak, I will be well. I try and envisage that story. I don't know if you ever think about stories like this, but I try and use my imagination sometimes. I don't know if it's right or not, but I imagine Jesus would just brush against the sick people because they believed in him. Not because he was trying to be, look at me, superhero. But because he said, I know their faith. The faith is, if only I can just touch it, I will be made well. So Jesus comes amongst the sick. He puts his hands upon him, he blesses them, they touch his garments, they become well. Mark chapter 7, 32. There are some people brought to him, a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. Later on in 7:35 it says, at this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus did some radical things in that story, and you can read that story for yourself. Jesus actually spits in the man's tongue. I would imagine if someone was sick today and I did that, I probably wouldn't be very impressed. Jesus didn't come to impress people. Jesus came to make them well. The man is deaf. He can't speak. Jesus heals him, he can hear, he can speak. Mark 8:22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man, and they begged Jesus to touch him. And guess what happened? Jesus touched him, and he was made well. We sing a song here that goes, just one touch from the King, just one touch. And we believe today in this church that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And he can heal people and make people well, body, soul, mind and spirit. 100%. Because his kingdom is still ruling and reigning on this earth. Is it any wonder why mums and dads, mums brought their children to Jesus for him to touch them? I tell you what, if I was living in that day and I'd got Lydia and Joshua, I'd be first in the queue. I'd be saying, Jesus, bless my children, please. Pray a blessing over them. Give them a word, an eternal word. Speak into their life. Tell them what God has for them. We'll look at that towards the end of the story. And parents were bringing their children simply because they wanted Jesus to place his hand on them and that he would impart some type of blessing. This is where the problem starts for the disciples. The people that had been closest to Jesus, the people that had watched him minister to others, this is what they do. After a long, hard day of ministering to the sick, one after the other, people coming, Jesus, will you touch me? Jesus, will you heal me? Jesus, will you do this? Jesus, will you do that? And the parents hear about Jesus. They find out where he's staying. They come to the disciples and the disciples say this, I'm really sorry, but your children are too insignificant for the work of Jesus. They're not important enough, I'm afraid. They're only children. Jesus had a hard day. We've had a hard day. Just go away. They were impatient. They were tired. Anybody been impatient and tired at times? Someone's asked for help. I'm sorry, I'm just too busy to help you. Maybe as parents, there's been times when we've had so much to do and the little child comes to us and goes, Mom, Dad, could you just do this? And they go, no, I'm too busy. You'll have to wait. Come play on the Xbox or whatever it is. Just too busy for you. Disciples rebuked the parents for bringing the children to Jesus. Children very much were brought up to be seen and not heard. I was brought up in church to be seen and not heard. Unfortunately, they did hear me. And they did see me. Especially from the back of the church, I would commando crawl from the back to the front under the chairs. I didn't fit into the norm. But in those days, children were to be seen and not heard. They were there to serve the parents. Whatever the parents wanted them to do, they would fetch and carry, they would do. That's what children did in those days. In some ways, they were seen like a slave. The apostle said in Galatians 4, verse 1, what I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, even though he owns the whole estate. He may be inheriting something, but at the moment, as a child, very insignificant, not very important. And let's make no mistake here, Jesus was not happy with his disciples. It says that he was indignant. He was not happy with the way his disciples behaved, the way they treat others. He taught them, in my kingdom, we don't do things like that. In my kingdom, we love people. In my kingdom, we help people. And so Jesus looks at the disciples and says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Do not hinder a little child coming into my kingdom. I want to encourage us. As people come into church, if you're a Christian here today, you're probably from another church. If you're not a Christian today, you're very welcome. We trust you're really here for what God is wanting to say to you. I'll come to that in a minute. But you know, we've got to be careful when people come into church that we don't hinder them. We've got to introduce them to Jesus. We've got to take the hand and say, of course, Jesus is here for you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. We must not hinder people coming to Jesus. Sometimes churches can hinder people coming to Jesus because of our attitude. The indignant response of Jesus shows that no one is too insignificant for his love. Jesus is welcoming the children is another example of his positive attitude towards those who do not have important social status. Jesus showed that people that have no important social status, I've come for them. I want them in my kingdom. In those days, women had very few rights, if any. They were there to serve the men. They were there to have children. They were there really as the property of a man. And you quite often see why Jesus went to those women, like the woman of Samaria at the well. Do you know he didn't make a mistake? his sat-nav didn't take him to the wrong place. Led by the Holy Spirit, he went to that well at that exact time that that woman would be there, which wasn't the time when most people would be there, because she wouldn't go when most people were there, because she wasn't a very nice lady and people would have not been very nice to her. But Jesus knew she was going to be there. To this social outcast, to this woman who's had seven husbands, and the man she's living with now isn't her husband. Jesus reaches out to her and brings the kingdom of God and shows love and compassion to her. The woman that comes to Jesus and is crying at his feet and pours out the perfume, who is a lady of ill repute, and the man whose house he went to said, if only Jesus would have known who this woman was, he wouldn't allow her anywhere near. But of course, Jesus did know who she was, because he'd come for her so that the kingdom of God may touch her life. And this insignificant woman would be part of the kingdom of God forever. It's the social status of small children that is the background of Jesus' statement. And you and I are to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Now, that doesn't refer to the innocent qualities of the child. Children, we know, are innocent from a young age. When someone comes to know Jesus at an older age, they're not innocent. They've lived in the world. They've done some stuff. We can't enter into the kingdom of God if the entrance qualification was we were innocent, we would never get in. It doesn't talk about innocence. You see, children were totally dependent on the will of others. Children had no legal right. They had no social weight. They couldn't go into a situation and say, we have equal rights as adults, and therefore we should have what adults should have. The statement is about their humble position that Jesus has in mind. And Jesus meant that one must take the position of a child, unable to make our own demands and totally dependent on God for absolutely everything. In Jesus' kingdom, we have to become like little children, where we are totally dependent on God for absolutely everything, where we don't demand our own rights. This was the problem in the day with the Pharisees. They wanted the best seat. Probably if they were in this church today, they'd probably be having one of the front seats. Or maybe a seat up here where everybody could see how righteous they were. They believed that they should have the kingdom of God because they were the religious leaders of the day. But that didn't give them entrance qualifications into his kingdom. If we think we are somehow worthy of God's favour, that we deserve to enter the kingdom of God because of our social or religious status, we will never enter his kingdom. The kingdom of God is not entered by merit. You might be the best person in this room, but you cannot earn your way into the kingdom of God. God chooses to give it to those that are humble, to those apparently insignificant or unimportant people. We've been here, Esther and I have been here 16 years, and one of the things I felt the Lord say to me that I'd learnt over the years is that children are of the same importance as adults in church, exactly the same importance to God. Sometimes we treat children differently in church. We expect them to behave. Of course we do. We try and teach them and learn how to behave, but we expect them to put up with things that children shouldn't have to put up with. We expect them to behave in a certain manner. In this church, I have to say to you that children are of equal worth as an adult. Children are just as important to God. And this is why I believe we're so blessed with the children that we have. They have a right to be here. You see, in this church and in every church, I believe, they have the right to learn about Jesus. They have the right to learn about the Father. They have the right to learn about the Holy Spirit, and they need to experience it in church. Because if they don't experience it in church, where are they going to experience it? This is why we need to bring children under the teaching of God and expose them to the power of God. Every holiday Esther and I had, near enough, not everyone, but most of our holidays, especially in the summer holidays, our children would go to Christian camps where they would experience the word of God. They'd experience the power of God. They'd experience the presence of God. So that when they made the choices for themselves, they would make the right choice to serve Jesus. Mark 9:33-37. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But he kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Peter says to John, "So what position are you going to have in the kingdom of God then? Are you going to be on the right or the left of Jesus?" Disciples asked, "Do you think we can be on the right or your left, Jesus, when your kingdom comes?" They were in it for the glory. They wanted to be great. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." Read that again. "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever acknowledges one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Jesus clearly taught the disciples they must be willing to place themselves in the rank of a servant. When we became a Christian, Jesus invites us into his kingdom, and he says, "Well done, come into the kingdom. Take the place of a servant. Take the place of a servant." The Aramaic for child that Jesus used here means servant. When he takes the child, he uses the word servant. He doesn't use the word child. He says, "You must become like this servant." And in the context of these scriptures, Jesus is talking about people that are already in the kingdom of God. He's talking about people, if you like, today who are already Christians, people already serving Jesus Christ. So in this room, we're actually all that love Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's talking to the church today. He's talking to his disciples and he's saying to them, "I expect you to serve them because they're part of the family." Why do you serve in church? Because you're part of the family. You've been brought into the family of God. Jesus has shown you what it means to be a servant. He said, "I've come to serve, not to be served." And when you're invited into the kingdom of God, what Jesus says is, "Be like me, follow me, serve one another." That's why it's important in church that we put the priorities and preferences of others first so that we may come and serve them. On Sunday morning, when we come to church, we can say, "How can I serve my brothers and sisters today? This is what pleases Jesus." And Jesus is telling them, forget all this greatness nonsense. If you want to become great, you must become the least. Even if there is an insignificant follower in this church, somebody that seems to be insignificant, I want to say there is no insignificant followers in Jesus' kingdom. Do you believe that? Yeah? No one is insignificant. Every person in the kingdom of God should be treated with the greatest respect. If we started to respect people and serve people, we wouldn't have some of the fallouts that we have times in church because we think we're better than other people. Because we're not. We're all saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Jesus continued in verse 38 to 41. He urges his disciples to have a willingness to serve others instead of a concern for greatness. This is why he was indignant. This is why he is unhappy with his disciples when they rebuke the parents, whom they should be showing God's love, whom they should be showing compassion and serving them, especially because they wanted to meet Jesus. The disciples were saying this in effect, "I'm sorry, but Jesus is much too busy for you and your problems. You're really not important enough for him. This is the message I want to tell us today and everybody in this room. Jesus is never too busy for anybody, ever. Sometimes I've made the mistake of being too busy for people. Jesus is never too busy for people. Everyone in this room is of ultimate importance to Jesus today. See, the worldview is that serving others is demeaning. And Jesus says, no, my kingdom that has come today for you is for people that will humble themselves and to serve. This is why it's difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not impossible, but it's difficult for the rich people because they don't want to humble themselves. They want the slaves and the people to serve them, but they do not wish to serve. The qualification for entry into the kingdom of God is not the right kind of birth certificate. Zachary, John Reed had a birth certificate that says who his parents were. That will let him have a passport in this country. It will give him certain rights into the United Kingdom. Where we're born, who our parents are, what country we live in, whether we're from rich or poor family, does not get us into the kingdom of God. All those that will willingly submit to the will of the Father are very welcome. Let's return to this last line of this verse, which I love in the original or the first scripture that we read. And I've nearly finished. Nearly time for cake. Jesus took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. What did the parents ask Jesus to do? Simple question. Place his hands upon them and bless them. That's all they'd asked him to do. We were praying today, and Chris, who played the guitar, prayed something. He didn't know what I was going to say on, but he said, I thank you, Jesus, that you do, I'm going to paraphrase, do more than we ever expect. Jesus does so much more. The Greek word, which I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce, is only used here. It's only found in the Gospel of Mark, and it's only used in this particular place, in the whole of the Bible. In this word, it says that Jesus took every child, one by one, into his arms. He laid his hands upon them and he blessed them. The Greek word talks about Jesus taking time with every child. I want you to imagine all the children that were in here today. Maybe there's that many children. And they're all coming to Jesus. And he takes every child one by one. He picks them up, which is the extra bit. Takes in his arms and he blesses them. He starts to speak into their life. He maybe prophesies over their life. He maybe tells them what they're going to be in God. Maybe tells them how they're loved by God, how precious they are. But each one, he takes time. One by one, he looks into their eyes, he picks them up, and he blesses them. The process of picking up each child, one by one, lasted for some time. Do you remember, Jesus is tired. He's had a hard day's ministry. But every one of these insignificant children are important in his kingdom. I want to say this to you today. Jesus did not get tired of such work. He never did then. He never does now. And Jesus does much more than we ever expect or ask him to do. Whatever you need today, Jesus can do that. Whatever it is. And he can do much more because he's wanting to do much more. Jesus fulfilled Old Testament scripture in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. I want to say to you today, the Lord Jesus has time for you. He wants to lift you up from where you are. He wants you to draw him close to his side so that you would know his heartbeat. That close. I remember when I was a child, and one particular memory I remember having of my mum. And my mum always had time for me. She worked very hard, but she would always make time for me. She always showed me what it meant to be loved. I remember her picking me up one day, and I remember my head against the chest and hearing her heartbeat. One of the memories that you have as a little kid, that's mum's heartbeat. I want to tell you today, the Lord Jesus wants you to be that close. He wants to lift you up. He wants you to draw him to his side, so you can hear and feel his heartbeat and his love for you today. I love it. It says he gently leads those who have young, gently leads them. One of the things I love about Jesus, he gently leads us. He's a gentle saviour. He really is. He will gently lead you and guide you. He will gently help you. Now, one day he's coming back. He's going to come back in the clouds. He's going to come back with the angels. He's not going to be gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He will take his kingdom by force. It will be different. But until that day, in his kingdom now, Jesus gently leads you. That means he's not going to hurt you. He's only got his very best for you. He's not going to hurt you. He's only going to love you. John 1 verse 12 says, yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. All who believe on the name of Jesus now have access to the Father at any time. He's available to you and I. He's never too tired. He's never grumpy. He's never busy. Never. Never. When Lydia and Josh were growing up, when I'd come home from work, they quite often want me to do things. They want me to play with them. They want me to read. They want me to do all those kind of things. And some days, like you, we'd come home and be really tired and I'd go, yeah, maybe later. I'm tired. Daddy's tired. Lydia, go and read your own book. Maybe sometimes I was grumpy. Not like now. Maybe times I was too busy and say, Lydia, you'll just have to get on yourself. Josh, just do it yourself. I want to tell you, that's never God's answer to you and I. He's never too busy. He's never too grumpy. He's never too tired. He's always available for you. And today is available for you right now. Jesus addressed his disciples in the Gospel of John with two titles. I love these titles. He addresses them as children or little children. Why does he do that? He does it this way. Because they were now no longer just his mates or his colleagues or his friends. They were now in the kingdom of God. They were his brothers and sisters, but they would become children of God. And therefore, as children of God, they can call him Father. So he addresses them, children. And as such, they were going to receive all the blessings and the inheritance of being a child of God. Let's look at one more verse and then we're going to finish. Alan, if you could come back. There's a scripture in Ezekiel, and you can study this for yourself, and it would be good for you to do so. Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Sovereign Lord, and you became mine. There is a point in our life, there is a time in our life when we're ready to receive the love of God. And God looks upon our sinful nature and he looks upon us and he takes his garment and he covers our nakedness and our sin and it's hidden. And he draws us to himself. And he makes a promise to us that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will always be with you. And you are mine. Jesus' kingdom is here today. It's right here and it's right now. And it's for you. It's right here and it's right now. In his kingdom, he has love and compassion for you. He has grace. He has mercy unlimited for you. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. They're of no consequence to Jesus right now. What Jesus wants to do right now is to reach out his hand and to bless you and to draw you into his kingdom. You may need a touch from Jesus today. You may need Jesus to answer. You may need a miracle. It might be a financial miracle. It might be a miracle where your life is changed completely, free from addictions and gone in Jesus' name. It might be an answer to prayer. It might be that you're sick. Whatever it is, Jesus is here right now. His kingdom has come right now, right here. I know that we're all looking forward to some refreshments afterwards, some cake, and there's a party later. We're going to celebrate this wonderful child. But for 2 minutes now, that's all I'm going to ask you. It's 12:10. For 2 minutes, as Alan is praying, if you just need a touch from Jesus wherever you are right now, if you need the Lord just to lift you in his arms, to bless you, whatever it is you need, I'm going to ask you in a minute just to stand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are, and then I'm going to pray for you. Because when you have just one touch from the King, it changes everything for your life. Everything. You'll never be the same again. You don't have to stay where you are. You've tried the rest, now try the best. His name's Jesus. So right now I'm going to ask, as Alan's praying, for everybody to close your eyes for a minute and not be looking around for what anybody else is going to do. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It's no importance to you. What's the importance right now is whether or not you are going to just respond to the Lord Jesus. He invites you to come. If you're not in the kingdom, you can come. If you've walked away from him, you can come back. If you don't think you're good enough, you are. If you need a miracle, he's the miracle-working saviour. So in this room, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are right now, if that's you. Thank you, Lord, that today you love us so unconditionally. Thank you, Jesus, that your grace and mercy flows through your robes, through your very being, into all that will come. And Lord, you're so willing today. You're so willing and ready. Lord, each one of these people here are important to you. There is no insignificant person. You have time for every one of them. Lord, you minister dynamically, supernaturally into each of their lives, that, Lord, you will touch them. They'll never be the same again. Thank you, Jesus. You never forsake us. You never disappoint us. You're always there with arms outstretched. So, Lord Jesus, today, say thank you. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your kingdom. Your kingdom has come. Earth has been touched by heaven today. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.